Welcome to Now on Netflix, your guide to everything coming out that you have to know about. The theme for this week is marriage is not all it's cracked up to be. We're going to talk some Love is Blind, wedding episodes, and we're going to talk about Damsel, the new Millie Bobby Brown film that is out tomorrow. I'm Jessica Shaw, joined as always by my dream man, Henry Goldblatt. Hi, Henry.
Hi, Jessica. I had a bit of an experience this past weekend that will reaffirm our theme of a show. Parents meeting boyfriends or girlfriends can also be difficult.
Oh, yes, it can. I feel like there is a reality show in there that I'm hoping there were cameras on, perhaps you, if it was happening to you. Well, I guarantee your wedding day will one day go better than Millie Bobby Brown. She plays a princess named Elodie, and things with her marriage don't quite go according to plan. I want to bring in todoom.com writer Anne Cohen, who has been covering Damsel.
Hello, Anne.
Hi, so excited to be here.
Tell us the story of Damsel.
If you've ever wondered what happens after the princess and prince kiss and it's happily ever after, what happens is that he tosses her down a pit into the lair of a fire-breathing dragon so that she can run through caves terrified and try to escape it. So Damsel picks up at the end of the traditional fairy tale and basically flips it on its head into a survival story.
And you're so right. There were a lot of themes that came out through this movie. The first was, as you say, survival. The second, there were some definite class themes in terms of how Millie Bobby Brown's character, Elodie, is introduced to her future prince. And then third, you throw in some Game of Thrones dragon themes for fun, and you've got a movie here. What was the mixture like for you?
No, exactly, Henry. It's a mixture of fantasy, but it's also pretty grounded. You feel like these are real people, and it's like an unequal pairing in that she's trying to save her father's lands that are struggling with poverty. And so the solution is this prince who's going to marry her and help them all survive. She thinks she's getting a happily ever after, but really she's a meal.
Since you brought up the dragon, Henry, I have to tell you, I identified with the dragon. I loved her. I was all about her. I'm all about her voice. I'm all about her backstory. What can you tell us about the dragon?
I'm obsessed with the dragon. And the most fascinating thing about the dragon, who is voiced by the wonderful Shoria Goshlu, is that there is no filter on her voice whatsoever. She actually just talks like that, and it's amazing. I wish that she could just narrate my life. She just has the most incredible, sultry voice.
Absolutely. I feel like we've gotten so used to really high-tech dragons from various shows that we've seen. I love how they depicted this dragon.
I also feel like dragons have been very gendered throughout pop culture, and I was proud to see a female empowered. Do we want to call her empowered dragon?
Yeah. I so agree with you. It was so interesting because my own bias, and it just shows you how we've been spoon-fed certain tropes. When we first saw that dragon, I assumed it was a male dragon. First, look at me like misgendering a dragon. Apologies to the dragon. But you're right. Dragons, I think maybe because of their fierceness, have been portrayed as male.
And there's some other very strong female roles in this film. One is played by Robin Wright, who is the queen of the land in which Millie Bobby Brown's character is marrying into. Another is Angela Bassett, who plays the stepmom of Millie Bobby Brown's character, Elodie. How did those characters strike you?
Well, Princess Buttercup breaks bad in this movie, which I was delighted to see. Robin Wright's incredible as always. And not to spoil anything, but Angela Bassett's character initially comes off one way and really flips a trope in a way that I found really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there are all of these tropes that are flipped. There's the question, what does it mean to be a quote-unquote evil stepmother? What does it mean to live quote-unquote happily ever after? They take every single beat in classic fairy tales and just turn them on their heads. Was that something that Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, the director who also did 28 Weeks Later, was that kind of the intention there?
Yeah, so when I spoke to him, he said that one of the things that appealed to him about this story and this movie is just that it was reimagining fairy tales in a more modern way, just like keeping them grounded in their core themes, but thinking about them in a different and more current way.
And every fairy tale needs a dress, and Elodie gets this really elaborate wedding dress. Tell us a little bit about that backstory.
The dress is really cool because it's almost a character in the story, in that as she progresses through these caves and faces various scary things, the layers get peeled back progressively to the point where the dress is her weapon. When you first see her, it's her wedding dress. And when they first put her in it, there's like 1,000 layers of cloth, and there's like a girdle, and her bracelets are almost like shackles. It's like a prison. And she progressively uses everything in the dress to to survive. So like she uses the bones in her corsets as like a knife, and she wraps her feet in the cloth so she can walk around. She like climbs this like really scary tunnel with the crown on her head. So it's almost like her only friend in the tunnel is the dress.
It's a real day to night look.
Jessica, I thought so too when she took off, I believe it was the shackle bracelets, and suddenly they became lanterns. I was like, that's a look that goes from a daytime to a club.
Yes, exactly. I love the whole design. I love everything that gets ripped off.
It is a very cool dress, especially if you have to go slay dragons.
And tell us about Millie Bobby Brown starring in this. There were times where I was like, this poor girl, she barely made it out of Stranger Things as 11. So many things happened to her, and here she is stuck in this underground maze trying to stay alive again. And I thought, can't she just get a break?
She's so good in this. It's interesting because in Stranger Things, I think we've gotten used to seeing her as part of an ensemble. And this is really her movie. She's in all of it. And it's just her against the world. But we've seen her grow up. And I feel like this is a new chapter for her. And she's a little bit more grown up, and she's a little bit more adult, and she's coming into her own, which is interesting because it really nicely dovetails into Elodie's coming of age.
And every fairy tale needs a love interest. And in this case, it's a prince played by Nick Robinson. He plays Prince Henry. I guess he was named after me. What do we need to know about Prince Henry going into this?
Prince Henry sucks. You kind of get the sense that he does like her and would like things to be different. But ultimately, he does throw her into a pit. So I can't say that I'm Prince Henry's biggest fan.
And the way he throws her into a pit is preying on her trust in such a vulnerable moment. And it's like, oh, by the way, goodbye.
I feel like that scene is the physical embodiment of a bad date, and that you're like, oh, it's going well. And then he like tosses you brutally while you're just really trusting. It's a very brutal scene, I found.
Same. He lulls her into this moment of comfort and safety. It's the cruelest of cruel. And I don't know, you don't date someone who has so many issues with their mom. Just saying.
I feel like when watching this movie, a lot of people are going to relate to a very bad date that they've had watching the way Prince Henry treats Elodie.
Yeah.
And if you think you can't climb out of it, climb out of the pit of despair, as it were, you can. If Millie Bobby Brown's Elodie can do it, then anyone can.
And I will butcher this metaphor one more time and say, you can slay the dragons in your life.
Perfect. Damsel is out on International Women's Day, aka tomorrow. You can read all of Anne's coverage on Damsel and everything else over on todoom.com. Thank you, Anne Cohen.
Thank you.
Continuing our theme that love doesn't always go as planned, the Love is Blind finale is now out, and the Love is Blind reunion will be coming out on March 13th. Henry and I both cannot wait, and oh my gosh, Cole Delbic was actually there in the room. Tell us everything, Cole.
Yes, I was one of the lucky few to witness the mess go down IRL. This is the best reunion they have ever done. I think they've really perfected the format now. There's so much to address this season, but it was so great because a couple days before the reunion, there was all this swirl on social media, be it about these leaked text messages that Trevor had sent going into the pods, or Jeremy having a fiance before the experiment, Sarah Ann's social media activity, Matthew's absence on social media besides a weird video of him playing the piano. So all of that gets addressed and more. Expect tears, formal sequin gowns, heartbreak, reunions. They really came to play.
Did you feel like Nick and Vanessa asked all the questions that you needed them to ask? Because I feel like in my mind, I have a running tally of like, I need to know about this, I need to know about this, I need to know about this.
They really did. I thought they did such a good job giving the singles and couples the chance to set the record straight while also pushing them enough and holding their feet to the fire in some cases where some of the behavior wasn't acceptable and sort of compromises the integrity of the experiment. So it's a really difficult role to play, but they did great.
Is the Megan Fox situation addressed?
It is addressed. And Chelsea's had a tough week. She is fighting for her life on social media. Brian Austin Green weighed in to defend Chelsea, thank God. But I have really admired how she sort of sailed through this social media chaos with a lot of self-awareness and humor and sort of gotten back in touch with her confidence. And I was really, really happy to see that energy brought to the reunion. So she was one of my sort of MVPs of the reunion, I'd say.
What was the vibe? Were you, as an audience member and reporter, watching the different couples or former couples? Were you trying to like pick up on their body language and who's looking at whom and who's maybe secretly pinky touching someone?
Yes, I wish I had binoculars so I could fully zoom in on every little micro detail. But I love analyzing body language. And I was like, which way are her legs pointed? Why are they whispering over there?
Cole, without spoiling the looks per se, this show in particular, the participants in the experiment have really elevated their looks over the course of the reunions. And we're getting into some nice housewives territory as they evolve. And I'm wondering whose looks stood out to you.
You know, it ran the gamut, let's say. It was sequin forward. There were some confusing choices among the men to be expected, particularly, I would say, with Jeremy. And then I will say, yes, it's getting very housewivesy, very Selling Sunset-y. The girls were in full glam.
To the extent that any reality show has editing and people's storylines are kind of curated over the course of a season, and then here you were in the reunion watching the people in real time, did it shift your perception of any of the cast members?
Hearing from Chelsea, who's gone through this struggle with insecurity all season, really tap into her confidence. I was so proud of her, and it made me see her in a new light. And I think it made a lot of the other cast members see Chelsea in a different light as well. Hearing from Jeremy, I thought was key because it was so he said, she said situation with him, Laura, and Sarah Ann. And so we got a lot of clarity about that timeline and who did what and who didn't do what. And then I also walked away really appreciating Clay, who's someone I've enjoyed watching in the sense of he keeps on getting in his own way, but then he has this miraculous ability to then recover, recognize his ego, and work through it. And he led with that same type of honesty that I really appreciate on this show, especially coming from a male cast member. It did shift a bit and then reconfirmed some things that I will not say, but it's a major one. You guys got to tune in.
I want to zoom up 30,000 feet for a second. You've been covering the show now for a few seasons. As you're observing more and more participants, what qualities make a good Love is Blind contestant?
I just want to say AD. I think someone, not to be all bachelorly, but who is there for the right reasons. I know that sounds corny, but this experiment demands people to be so radically honest and transparent about their lives because that's the only way it works. So I think step one is someone who really believes in this, is not here to be social media famous and gain followers. And then it's that sort of delusional quality, like this could actually happen. It's one thing to apply for the show and get chosen, and another thing to really believe in the love story. And so it's not, are you charismatic enough or are you looking a certain way? It's really, I think, the belief in the experiment and the belief that there is someone out there for you. And then again, just AD.
I have to say, I kind of took some parenting tips from AD's mom because she was so supportive. No matter what was going on, she just made sure to tell her daughter, you are amazing. You are great.
And also how she was like, Clay, no, yes. Your parents' issues are not your issues. I was like the mother to us all.
Words of wisdom. Do you think the producers look at every season and say, huh, this is something we learned that we're going to carry this into next season, either with how we change casting or how we change things that go on in the pods or anything?
Every season brings different sort of triumphs and challenges, right? And I think this season, everyone has recognized that the couples were so strong, the connections in the pods were sort of unlike anything other. The family stories, the personal stories really were on another level. So I think it's really about finding couples to root for, and not just one, but multiple couples that you can follow their journeys through the course of a season. But this season really raised the bar. So I'm really hoping that season 7, which has already been announced, it's coming, will sort of continue that trend.
One of the next things we'll get to look forward to as far as this franchise goes is it's hopping across the pond and we're going to get Love is Blind UK, hosted by Emma and Matt Willis. And I'm really looking forward to that. I find that the Brits take a different approach to dating than some Americans based on all of my experience apparently watching thousands of hours of Love Island. But what can you tell us about Love is Blind UK?
Well, it is currently in production, so they're filming season 1. I, too, am so excited just for the accents alone. And that can, I think, with this type of format, be so revealing, especially with all the specifics of which accent comes from where and what that means. And so I'm really excited to just learn more about it as a person who is not as fluent as you are, Henry. But I'm curious, from all you're watching, what do you feel like is that difference between sort of a U.S. and a U.K. dating show?
Cole, you touch on something that's really interesting. To us Americans who are being total rubes, like we can't tell the difference between someone who's from London or someone who's from Liverpool or someone who's from Manchester. But the accents, especially in these dating shows, people are very attuned to them and it tells them a lot about that person, where they're from, and probably a whole bunch of false assumptions as well. Whereas I don't feel like you find that as much in American dating shows. So I think that's going to be an interesting twist on Love is Blind, especially when you can't see the person and you're just relying on the voice.
I cannot wait. Real quick, you guys, I'm just curious, without spoiling anything, were you surprised by how this season ended?
100p.
I will say I was not surprised.
Thought it was a great finale, and the whole season is out now, and I absolutely cannot wait for Love is Blind, The Reunion, which will premiere Wednesday, March 13th at 9 p.m. East, 6 Pacific. Cole, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, and check out todoom.com after the reunion because we have a great status update that will trace all of their journeys from their reunion couches back to real life, so you'll get even more sort of goodies and morsels about their journeys over the course of the season. So check it out.
I'm literally typing in the URL right now, so I'm 100% ready. Just to recap, the Love is Blind finale is out now, and the reunion airs next Wednesday at 9 p.m. East, 6 p.m. Pacific. Damsel is out tomorrow, and our sister podcast, Skip Intro, is back with Season 8, and you can hear an exclusive interview with Damsel star Millie Bobby Brown on the latest episode. Next week, the cast of Girls 5 Eva join us to talk about Season 3 of the series, plus we'll be previewing Lindsay Lohan's new rom-com, Irish Wish. We'll see you next week.